A reading from the prophet Micah. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. The Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam son of Beor answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you have been a part of this community for any length of time, I'm sure you've heard this passage. Micah 6:8 has been the heart song of this community for many years. And if you've gotten one of our UPC t-shirts, you know that they state on them, do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. We couldn't think of a better tagline to put on our t-shirts because of how this verse has informed our church's mission and voice in the community. And by the way, those t-shirts are available via the Social Witness Committee for $20. Cash, check, or credit card is accepted, but I digress. This text is set up to be a sermon in and of itself. I have very little work to do. Most prophetic books are. And they are really prone to sound bites like do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God. And perhaps an even better sound bite is do, love, and walk. Yes, that seems like an appropriate thing to yell as we are trying to motivate one another. Prophetic books can really lend themselves to really good verses that we can put on our walls and maybe put some flowers around or make into those inspirational posters with a cat hanging on a branch or a sunrise or a team of skydivers grabbing for each other and getting into formation, or maybe even to stick on a post-it. These bumper sticker Bible verses that you know well, where do, love, walk seems immediately applicable enough to just leave in the abstract, where our proclamation of the word becomes just, you know, just do this thing because God says to, and don't question or argue about it. Just go and do it. But that's not really us. Because there's really something about digging in here, digging into that deeper story, doing a bit of investigative work that makes that post-it more meaningful. It might just be that sound bites don't always satisfy in the way that we think that they might. And if we exercise our imaginations and curiosity, we just might find something more than an inspirational poster. This Micah 6 passage steps into a long line of chapters before it, 5 to be exact, and into a long line of prophets before it who proclaim that God has explained that the people of God are headed into exile. And this judgment is coming because of unjust economic practices by the rulers and false prophets of Micah's day. In other words, the leaders of the people of God were messing with the money and cheating other people out of it. And when powerful people take advantage of those who are underprivileged, the God who is slow to anger and abounding in love takes some action. Because when privileged people mess with the poor, God gets angry. And out comes that Old Testament God that we all fear, this God of judgment and pushing people out and punitive punishment. It seems like this is a far cry from the God of the New Testament. Thank God for Jesus, who somehow subsided this anger of God. Except after knowing what happens in the Gospels when Jesus gets confronted with unjust economic practices in the temple courtyard, I'm just glad that there weren't any tables around for God to flip. Driving cheaters and the greedy out seems to be a family trait here. God moving the people toward exile is the headline of that local newspaper, including many warnings, and not to mention the covenant that was broken by the people of God in the first place, promises made and unkept by the people who just keep messing up over and over again. But even that's not the whole story. The exile will involve people conquering the people of God and the people of God having to live in a new culture and learn a new way of living and even sometimes assimilating parts of the conquering culture into their homes and their workplaces, their everyday lives. But even that's not the whole story. Because if we assume that this whole story is simply about us and exile, then we have missed the story. For strung throughout this story, woven in and out of the cages of sin that are of our own creation, the impossible situations that we have been complicit in and we have benefited from, throughout all of that stuff that leaves us cynical and broken, is a word that stands at the heart of our post-it. Characteristic of God that dances with us. An attribute of the Almighty that we can put our trust in. Now, lucky for us, it's difficult to translate into English, but it appears all over the Old Testament, woven into stories like Rahab and the spies and the Ten Commandments, woven into Naomi and Ruth's story and the three kings of the United Kingdom of Israel, and of course, into the hymnody of the Psalms. It describes our God in this mysterious way that God loves, mixed with kindness and charity. It's a word that in places means grace and in other places means mercy. It's a word that you only know when you've experienced it. Which I think it's why it's so difficult to translate. That Hebrew word, hesed, has confused us for centuries, leading the King James Version of Scripture to translate it as loving kindness, because they couldn't just pick one definition. And now that word, loving kindness, is an archaism. So I can't really stand up here and tell you what it means, giving you a definite definition. But I can tell you the rabbit trail that it led me on, because it was a beautiful one. Because running alongside of this word were covenants that God continued to make with God's people. And many times it came shoulder to shoulder with the phrase, slow to anger, abounding in hesed. This God who we keep disappointing over and over again, who is sovereign above us, is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, inviting us into the story to learn what in the world this attribute of God actually means. In Micah, the headline may have been that the end of life as they knew it was coming. That wasn't the whole story. The attributes of God are highlighted. The people are reminded of their God that has been with them throughout the ages and will continue to walk alongside of them even when promises are broken. story of Micah doesn't stop there. It continues to tell us about the restoration and the repair of the world as we know it. Prophet Micah tells us that there will be a Messiah who will bring peace to the people. Spoiler alert, that's Jesus. And we don't have to sit idly by while all of this is happening to us. In fact, we are invited in. We're invited in to take part in the repairing of the world. We get to partner with God in the reconciliation of all people back to their Creator, back to the one who has never stopped loving us, even when we have royally screwed up. Doesn't mean that there aren't consequences for those actions, because God must even the scales of justice. Yet God remains not loyal with a scowl on God's face, but with hesed toward a repentant spirit, toward a humble people who understand the gifts that were given to us. That's only a little more of the story. It's still not the story, because the story is not over yet. It's still unfolding. The people of God were placed into the exile of an empire, just as God said. And before they went, God had a couple of warnings about the place that didn't look like home anymore. God put the coat on our backs to protect us from the wind, and gave us some boots to cover our feet from the cold, scarf around our necks, and looked us square in the eye. God told us that even in exile, even in those unknown places, oh, my sweet little one, do justice, love loving kindness. Let's walk together. You and me, humble and sovereign. Because God knew that the cold of the empire might just infiltrate the life as we knew it, and that it was going to come quickly, and we needed to write some really good advice down quickly on our hearts for those moments when we really needed it. It's one of those pieces of advice that is more than just that post-it that you can fit it on. Maybe we really need that advice when we're in the room with other Micah 6 church leaders from around the Austin area, and we are deciding on how we are to help the underprivileged. Maybe we really need it when we are marching in a march honoring Dr. Martin Luther King, or any time that we stand in front of powerful leaders. Maybe we really need that advice when we are reading the newspaper and the headline states that the life as we know it is over. Empire, whichever one, whether Babylonian or Assyrian or Roman or American, has never been a respecter of persons. It does better when people are cynical and anxious or apathetic and tired. It is only interested in people being crushed and abandoned and destroyed. Passive objects instead of active engagers. But just know that when you see that empire infiltrating, when the winds are coming from the north and they bite, and your breath seems like it just might be gone, have some protection. The scarf of justice and the coat of kindness and the boots of humble walking. A quote with deep roots. Remembering all the mighty and merciful acts of God, you can recall your charge that describes what God wants you to be. So now you know a little more of the story where the t-shirt came from. What you don't know is how three pastors agonized over the verbiage here. I mean, really, this is what you get when you're working on an incredible team of colleagues. Even t-shirts become complicated. And the t-shirt was so hard to put together because it's so rare for us to deal in sound bites and trite and easy answers. That's the currency of empire. And we are a people of nuance and the long game. We are in this relationship for the long haul, hopefully protecting all of us from the cold of the empire, from that call of greed and easy answers, with the reminder that no matter what you have done prior to this moment, you have an opportunity to join in repairing the world. Our last session meeting was the budget meeting. No one really likes the budget meeting. It's not flashy. It's not breaking news. But we all knew it was coming. Faithful people sat in a room and put money where they felt like it needed to go. And then they brought it to the session that went through it and teased out our story within the numbers. Faithful people thought and discussed, and they were passionate about causes and about others. They worked and they toiled and they divided as best they could. And I'm running out of verbs because it was really hard to see all of that was happening. It just wasn't an easy answer, but it was a long and faithful one. And next week, you're going to see a spreadsheet. Know that it's rooted in the story of the faithful. Know that dear people with stories committed to this church and justice and kindness and humility asked God for guidance on how we might avoid that whole exile thing. We think we did. Keep an eye out for prophets. Just because something's not flashy or can be reduced to a soundbite doesn't mean it's not worthy of our attention. It doesn't mean it's not important. So people of God, hear these words that stand the test of time, that are shrouded in mystery and hopefully will be written on your hearts this day. Oh, little ones, justice. Love, love, and kindness, and mercy, and grace, and charity, and walk humbly with your God. And in the name of that God, who is slow to anger and abounding in love, amen.